again, photography lovers, and welcome to part two of our podcast with Justin Polke. You're listening to the Fashion Photography Podcast, and I'm your host, the fashion and advertising photographer, Virginia. If you haven't heard part one of our podcast, you can find it on photographypodcast.net, along with our guest's work and all of our previous episodes. On the website, you're also going to find a donation button. And if you click on it, you can support our show for just a dollar or two, but this help is going to be tremendous for us. Again, photographypodcast.net, the green, big donation button. And I hope that today's episode is going to be also helpful for you, because today we're going to talk about what's the difference between professional photographer and a hobby photographer, according to Justin. What's the point of being an assistant, and what's the right way to approach the job and look for a position? What were his tricks when he was contacting photographers to work for? We talk about rates and payments, and Justin has some great advices on that too. So let's dive right into this conversation already. Do you think there is a difference between the professional photographer and the hobby photographer nowadays? Can we still draw a line?
Those are two labels that are practically becoming blurred. And I think it's just because we're transitioning now, but I think everything will settle a little bit. Like anything, there will be a natural evolution into a separation between what is good work and what is average work and what is bad work. Professional and amateur really remains in the realm of, are you being paid for your work or are you not being paid for your work? In both professional and amateur, there's a scale of your craft. How good are you at your craft? Some professional photographers are really good at what they do, and some amateur photographers are really good at what they do. Maybe if you are that good as an amateur, you will be drawn to photography as a profession. Maybe that's the natural progression. I'm not sure. Throwing a towel over your shoulder and holding a bottle of water doesn't make you a boxing coach. You know, you really need to have lived it. So I think the same thing is true with photography. Buying a digital camera, taking a lens cap off doesn't immediately mean that you should label yourself or market yourself as a photographer. I think it's important that you treat it with respect and you study it, understudy it, assist people. I think these things are very important through your professional career. I think they're very helpful when you start working to have naturally worked your way into the industry, especially if your intentions are professional. You know, I still reference moments of when I was an assistant. Still draw on that knowledge 15, 20 years later. And also, it was a very, very enjoyable time. And I think you have some outliers, you have some exceptions, you have some people who come out at 18 years old and they just need to tell the world something and they know what it is and they're very astute and they're very good at that because they're motivated by it. And yes, they should just do what they do. But I think largely in your early 20s, when you still kind of asking more questions than there are answers. And I call the 20s like the great unlearning, you know. It's a really good idea to find a job, work as an assistant. If you're into fashion, try and find a job in fashion. If you're into cars, go in that direction. Probably one of the most important aspects of becoming a photographer, because without the technical stuff that you learn and behavioral stuff that you learn, it also means that you very naturally grow. That'll be your circle of influence. The stylists that you're working with will have assistants, and by the time they're moving into their careers, they will be the stylists that you'll be working with. It's a very natural way that things happen, and there are other ways to do it, but I think it is that way because it has made sense and it kind of evolves into that way. And I think it's still certainly a good way to start. I would highly recommend that as a pathway into professional photography.
You should also be very careful when you're starting to assist people, because of course you can learn from everyone, but you don't want to end up with a photographer that is not really what you want to become, I think.
Absolutely. I think that is crucial. With almost any career, that first session of thinking really belongs to you. You should really sit down and try and discover what it is that you like and what it is that you're interested in. And then go from there and then find the photographers that inspire you and find the photographers that you would like to learn from, that you would feel proud to work with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then approach them. I get lots of emails from people saying, I'd love to come and work with you. Here's my portfolio. Although that's great, I think that's it's the wrong way to go about it.
That's very interesting. What is the right one?
It's not because I would consider it totally irrelevant. I think it's nice to kind of be able to tell what somebody's style is like. But I think the point of being an assistant is to come as a clean slate, ready to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you've been assisting for a long time and you've got a great CV, that should be what you send. But if you really are straight out of art school, I'm not saying don't send a little bit of your work, but that's not the selling point as an assistant. I think your ambition, things that surround your work ethic. If you were going for a job and you have no experience really as an assistant, a willingness to learn, a proposal that you are a reliable person. Certainly when I was becoming an assistant, I would make it very easy. I did exactly as you are suggesting. I found photographers that I admired greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it very easy for them to meet me and very easy for them to work with me. So I would contact them and I would say, this is who I am. Very diligent and keen to work and, you know, whatever. I would happily come in shadow on a job or two, just in terms of finding out whether we are a match personality-wise and whether you enjoy my working and my general attitude. And just make it very easy for that person to give you an opportunity, because those opportunities are phenomenal. You end up assisting the right photographer that could change the path of your future career easily. That's important, identifying who you really like and then making it easy for them to get to know you. Once they know you, then you both can be confident that this is a good path to take. Then those relationships are really important, I think.
Have you ever been in a situation when you go to assist someone and you're just not matching as personalities?
Definitely. When I was assisting in Cape Town, it's a little bit different to, if you're living in a bigger city. You might find that you assist the same photographer more often, or you might find that you only assist one photographer.
Mm-hmm.
But living in a city that is a kind of migratory location where people are pouring in the summertime, you've got a schedule. And once the production companies find out that you're reliable and that you're a good assistant, they fill your schedule for you. Maybe you work for photographers you've worked for in previous years and they'll request you and book you long in advance. But you end up meeting a lot of different photographers and working with a lot of different photographers. And it has happened often, but I've had some clashes and personality clashes. And I think in those cases, it's best not to force it. And in those days, I would tend to be much more quiet and just let the job get on with it. And then maybe mention to the production company that I'm probably not the best match for that person in the future.
Did you start approaching production companies?
The first relationships that I had was with the model agencies. And that was for actual shooting. I started out shooting the tests. And then in terms of assisting, I think the production companies were really the first port of call for me. Yeah, they were definitely. So I think I made like one or two connections at the production houses. As I said, in the first job I think I ever did, I may have been a driver or a runner. And there again, much like the way that I presented myself to photographers when I was an assistant, the same way I try to make it very easy for production companies to establish a relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
Once that relationship is established, obviously it's a symbiotic relationship. You know, you look after each other.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it can be very difficult for a production company, even if they wanted to hire you, at that moment there's nothing available. And then on the day that something does become available, they will literally probably use the person who walks through the door next.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes can be a bit like striking at that right moment is important. So that's why I would check in, try and form a relationship, try and make it very easy for people to connect with me and to work with me. That's something that you carry on into your professional life as a photographer. You develop professional relationships, and hopefully those professional relationships are actually good relationships, and you have some friends within those relationships too. And then you kind of just stay in touch, and it kind of happens organically, I guess.
And when was the moment you said to yourself, it's time to think about the payment and just become a photographer on my own?
I think that happens very naturally. I think very early on in your assisting career, you start to imagine how you would do things. And assisting, I think, is a very fun job, actually. You're on set, you're in the environment that you want to be in. You do have responsibilities, but ultimately you don't. You don't have the ultimate responsibility of success. So you really get to observe everything, and you get to have a lot of fun. And a lot of the people in the industry are very nice people. So you get to travel a lot, and it's a really fun, natural beginning. it wasn't like I was drastically desperate to get out of assisting because I was really enjoying being an assistant. But I think naturally, because I kept shooting model tests and working with junior stylists and building a network, really, I think that when that network expanded to the point where opportunities started to arise, I had a very early opportunity with Condé Nast and with GQ. I think I shot my first cover at 24 years old. I still assisted after that for, I think, a year. But it kind of happened slowly. Started to work a little bit and then assist a little bit less and work a little bit more. And as the work took my time up, let go of assisting, it was a lot easier for me because I was at that point doing a lot of freelance assisting. So it wasn't like I had a single photographer that I was working with constantly. So I could give production companies a schedule and say, I'm available here, here, and here. And also by that time, you've become a pretty good assistant and you're in demand and you're not having to do a lot of work in terms of that. At some point, though, you have to cut it entirely. But I think that it's quite obvious when that is. And it really presents itself. It's when the work is built to the point that it's taking up most of your time. I certainly wouldn't rush that process. I wouldn't give the advice to rush that process. I would make it a very natural process and let it evolve into itself.
I believe the key is something that you said, that it takes time.
Yeah. There's some outliers in these situations that in those cases, I think it's very obvious, very young. But in most cases, a natural evolution. There's no massive benefit in rushing it. And in fact, I think you could probably do yourself harm as a photographer in rushing yourself into the job, because largely it's a freelance-based job. Mm-hmm. If you get an opportunity to work for a great client and you're not ready. And when I say you're not ready, it's obviously not just about taking a great picture. It's about managing an expectation that people have sat in boardrooms, discussed shoot documents and requirements. You have clients, you have art directors, you have a lot of people that all kind of fall under a set management. You can find yourself in the beginning of your career getting a great opportunity too soon, and you don't impress the client, it's going to be very difficult to get that opportunity back again. Mm-hmm. So ambition is fantastic and it's important to drive you forward. But at the same time, patience is also a good idea. It's more important to find a great assisting job than it is to push your photography career first. And obviously, I'm talking about people moving into the career from the start.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, when you started working on your own, was there a moment when everything was way too quiet?
People have different experiences. And I think sometimes people have experiences that are more bound to their personality than to the industry itself. Some people just need to be busy all the time. And that's how they start. They want to work a lot. They find themselves in those situations where they'll find that kind of type of work that suits them a lot. Where some people are much more project-based and they like to research and they like to spend a lot of time on building an image. And I think those people are probably more patient in their outlook and probably don't work all the time. Although they do work all the time, they're just not on set every day. Mm-hmm. So I think there are distinctions between, but yes, sure. In the beginning, it's nerve-wracking. You're making this leap and you're often making a leap from being a successful assistant or wherever you're coming from at your photography angle. And you're new, and new is always nervous. But having said that, I think you should at least try to be nervous once every few months, if you can, because that means that you are progressing forward. So being nervous is a good thing. Yes, in the beginning, patience is required because it can be a little bit fits and starts.
It is. I also believe that. The thing is, as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, the difference between the hobbyist and a professional is usually the payment. So sometimes it's not that easy for the people, because when they're starting on their own, the payment can be a big deal. So I wanted to ask whether you have an advice for the people out there struggling with their profession right now, if you think that there is something they can do right away in order to become better at what they do.
You touched on an interesting thing in the beginning of that question, discussing payment and I guess starting in their career. It's very tempting to offer yourself at a very low rate. And I think that's something that is happening broadly in the industry at the moment. It's just that there are so many people interested in becoming photographers. There's a lot of people out there willing to work for free. If people are struggling to launch their careers out of that environment, it's probably because they're not exposing themselves to the right environment. There's a commercial world of photography out there that is commercial for good reason. Whenever I quote on a job or I'm considering what rate to charge, I consider the company that I'm working for, what their yearly GDP looks like, how much fashion they sell. And then I kind of put in a day rate and a usage that suits the size of the company. When you're starting out, I think there's no problem working with small brands that don't have much budget and sharpening your tools by practicing in that environment and working with people. But I do think that if you want to access the proper career, there is a process that you can go through that is almost fail-safe. So starting with some tertiary education, some studying, art school, photography school, moving into assisting, and then moving into photography, you'll find that if you work in a good environment throughout that, if you go to a really good photography school, if you assist a really good photographer, these are the things that will make it easier for the next step to happen. So my advice for somebody who's starting out is to consider taking that kind of, I guess, slightly more traditional view on it. But really, it's not about tradition. It's the way the world works. You literally, like I said earlier, if you're working with those photographers, with those clients as an assistant, the likelihood of you working with those clients as a photographer in the future is increased exponentially. And I think it's the sensible way to go about things. I mean, we've spoken a lot about that. I feel like I don't want to completely ignore the fact that developing your own character as a photographer and developing your own eye and developing your own point of view is as important as all of this. But you can do that at the same time, and it's very much on offer. You will more than likely get to travel the world around that environment a bunch. There's a lot of inspiration around, and certainly time enough for you to develop your own eye and to develop your own concepts alongside working as an assistant. Something that I thought to myself when I started the interview project was, when I first became a photographer, the photographers that I looked up to, and they may have been the first of the fashion photographers, as say, that were calling themselves fashion photographers, but they weren't all necessarily strictly fashion photographers. They were mostly photographers who were being borrowed by fashion. You know, they were photographers first. They weren't fashion photographers first. There were people who had an interesting point of view. They were great photographers, and fashion was like, okay, yes, we'd love to use your eye to sell our garments. At some stage, I started to feel like I was becoming a bit of a fashion photographer. And I was like, maybe it's an interesting idea to consider myself more as a photographer and to broaden my interest in that sense, discover personally what it is that makes me want to take pictures and focus on that more. And then, yes, if that's suitable to the luxury environment, then I will work in the luxury environment. If that's suitable to a lifestyle environment, I'll probably work in a lifestyle environment. But that is a good thing to do in parallel with the practical elements of your career. Developing that kind of personality is very important.
I was wondering, what's the one thing that Cape Town have taught you, the thing that you'll never forget? And then I'm going to ask you the same question about London, so think about it carefully.
Cape Town is potentially one of the easiest places on the planet to shoot. I'm very grateful for starting my career there. And I would suggest, if anyone wants to work on their book a little bit and shoot some portfolio work, it really is the most remarkable city to shoot in. It's got a strong understanding of the fashion industry, but at the same time, it's this like really small city, so it's really manageable. You really get to know everybody very quickly, and there's a little bar in bottom of Clough Street called the Power and the Glory. And one visit to the Power and the Glory and you would have met the entire industry more than likely. And you can get going there. You can shoot tests there very easily. There's lots of locations. There's models. There's stylists. Cape Town was very kind to me. And I think I learned a diverse range of things from that kindness. It offers a lot. And because of that, I managed to build my photographic eye with a lot of different opportunities and different scenarios and situations and landscapes and lighting conditions. And it's very rich and very textured. It was a great place to start your journey with a camera.
You mentioned lighting conditions. I was wondering, were you usually using just the sun?
I've had moments with a flash, but generally I like to use natural light. It's not a rule, but I tend to use flash only when there's not enough natural light. But my other motivation for that is that I don't like to be hemmed in by equipment. I don't like to be locked into one space by equipment. it's quite nice to be able to move freely and let an image or a shot develop kind of portrait documentary style, I guess, even fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the more equipment and lighting you add to that, the more structured the shot becomes and the less you can move around. So those are the two motivations for that, really. Cape Town has an incredibly harsh sunlight situation in the summertime. You get up at 3 o'clock to start hair and makeup, shooting sunrise by 6 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, the lighting conditions are done. You can't shoot really past 10, 11 o'clock unless you're in open shadow or in shade. You generally would break for the whole day until 3 o'clock when you'd start hair and makeup again and then start shooting in the afternoon. So you're really shooting the good light at the beginning and at the end of the day. When I was an assistant working in Cape Town, I saw a lot of good photographers scratching their head, not sure what they were going to do with all of the sunlight.
And what was the most creative decision you've ever seen in a situation like that?
There's been some very creative decisions, which I haven't thought were the correct decisions at all in terms of blaming everything else. But I think the most sensible English photographer that I worked with was a guy named Nick Clements, who really kind of taught me the value of using nature and natural elements around you to get away with shooting through the day, shooting in an open shadow, considering where the light will be kinder at certain times of the day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of practical opportunities. Open shadow probably is the one fix for sunlight that's gotten too high overhead.
Nice. And what about London? What's the hardest part for you there right now?
London's a new city for me, so I guess the hardest part for me is patience. It's a very busy city. There's a lot happening here. A lot of photographers in London as well. Like we were discussing earlier, I'd kind of like to introduce myself via my work. So I wouldn't say it's been incredibly hard. I've actually had quite a nice time of it. And if anything's tough for me, it's going from an environment where I'm very well known to an environment where I'm not so well known. And then having the patience to stick by my guns and do the work that I do and keep focused and meet people organically and let my network grow. Yeah, I think just having a little bit of patience is key to that.
It is the key. I also believe the same. Plus, you've made a pretty big step, stepping out of your comfort zone. So,
like I said before, I think I was quite fortunate, though, in terms of I'd already gained a small network from Cape Town. Huge clients come to Cape Town, and some of them bring their own photographers. Sometimes they look for photographers in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
The one fortunate thing that I experienced coming from Cape Town was that when the bigger clients did go there and did kind of want to meet photographers, the competition wasn't massive. There weren't a lot of guys there. So kind of met a couple of really great clients and, you know, didn't just move to London on a complete whim. It is still quite sensible, but it just needs a little bit of natural time to massage it into what I wanted to look like. You know, I'm enjoying it. It's really great to be here. And I'm particularly loving the winter. The winter light is soft and beautiful and nothing like I was describing about Cape Town. It's quite the opposite. Any time of day, any angle, cross lights, backlit, frontlit, it's all really beautiful. If you know a place very well, or if you've formed your opinion about where you live, you sometimes don't see everything. Your vision is quite selective. You only see the things that are important to you. In life, we tend to aim at things. We have this vision that just looks at one thing or the next thing, and we kind of don't take in everything else. And when you arrive somewhere new, that changes suddenly. Everything's new and everything's interesting. That's a really magnificent time to pick up a camera and start taking pictures.
That's a great lesson we can learn from you. Thank you so much for this interview.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was nice to chat to you.
I hope you took in all of these amazing advices and that you enjoyed the interview too. It was the last episode with Justin, but we've prepared some new guests and episodes for you in the upcoming weeks. If you're looking for a community to share your photos, thoughts, and adventures, join us on Facebook, The Fashion Photography Podcast, and also share this show with your friends from the industry. Help more people to educate themselves, and together we'll be a stronger and better community. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today, and I cannot wait to see you next Wednesday.